You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the FWA podcast brought to you by William Hill. Sam Norris here stepping in for DK this week. And as you know by now, we get a different member from the Football Writers Association on the podcast every week. And I'm delighted to say this week we're joined by the Executive Secretary himself. Paul McCarthy is on the line. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yep, very well indeed. Very well indeed. Enjoying an exciting start to the season.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you make of the opening exchanges of the Premier League season?
I thought there were some predictable results. I thought Manchester United and Manchester City getting wins at the start of the season was absolutely a dot on the card, given the new arrivals in the manager hot seat there. But listen, like everybody, I guess Hull beating Leicester on the opening day of the season was I couldn't share in the enthusiasm and the excitement that a lot of people had about Leicester only losing N'Golo Kante, because I thought he absolutely set the tempo for everything that Leicester did last season, and I think he was sorely missed on Saturday at Hull. And it isn't any surprise to me that Leicester looked very sluggish in terms of an opening day performance.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a key man in them securing the title last season, no doubt about that. We must also mention as well, Paul, at the top of the podcast, William Hill, now proud title sponsors of the Football Writers Association. So obviously we've been doing this podcast for a few years now, but our two organisations are tied in even closer now.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're delighted to welcome William Hill. We've been working... William Hill have been one of our sponsors for the last 3 years, and hence why we've been doing the podcast for these 3 years. But for the next 3 years, and we all hope from well beyond that, William Hill will be the title sponsors of the FWA, Football Writers Association. And we're delighted. You know, William Hill have got a great pedigree in their relationships with football as a whole. But, they've backed football financially. They've backed them with a lot of support in all manner of areas. We're just delighted that William Hill are the new title sponsor of the FWA, and we really look forward to a long and healthy relationship.
Yeah, likewise, an exciting partnership, no doubt. We'll move on to take a look at the televised fixtures then this weekend, Paul. Five of them to go through. We begin with the inaugural Friday night football game of the season at Old Trafford. Manchester United take on Southampton in this one. It's 4-9 for Manchester United. The draw is 100-30. Southampton in the betting at 13-2. United looked fairly impressive on the opening weekend, dispatching Bournemouth by 3-1. And Zlatan's got a little bit of previous with the Southampton manager Claude Puel when he was the manager of Nice. Zlatan's actually scored 11 goals in his last 7 appearances versus the Southampton manager. So he'll be rolling his eyes at the prospect of the enigmatic Swede lining up against him once more.
I think Manchester United were very, very convincing against Bournemouth without really getting out of third gear. I think there were a few early season sort of cobwebs, but I just look at the squad that Jose Mourinho assembled, and Paul Pogba available now. I can't see past them for champions. I know that's a big leap from where they finished last season, but I think Mourinho has had that impact by just exciting the players. Speaking to an agent of one of the players this week, he just said life is much more exciting at Old Trafford and at the training ground at Carrington than it was in the time under Louis van Gaal. I think that Southampton, they were okay at the weekend. I think how much longer can they lose managers and keep the same momentum? Can they lose players like Pella, like Mane, like Wanyama, and still rejuvenate themselves? I think they've done it really, really well up to now. I wouldn't be surprised, however, if this was the season that it perhaps caught up with them. I don't think they'll be in any relegation problems, but I think the days of top 8 finishes I think, possibly are behind them until they get a little bit of momentum and sustainability back. So I don't see anything more than a fairly convincing Manchester United victory on Friday night at Old Trafford.
Okay, Manchester United then in the betting at 4-9. If you do think, like Paul, it'll be a pretty comfortable victory for the Red Devils. They are 6-5 minus a goal. Minus two goals is 100-30, but Paul taking them to win the Friday night game against Southampton, with obviously Paul Pogba to come into the fray after the weekend. Manchester United do look very strong title candidates this season. There is no doubt about that. We'll move on then to the Saturday lunchtime game. This is Stoke versus Manchester City. Kickoff here, 12:30 at the Britannia. It's 4-1 about Stoke. The draw is in the betting at 13-5. Manchester City are 7-10. Much of Manchester City's season so far has been talk about goalkeepers, Paul, and obviously Joe Hart's omission for the opening league game, and also the Champions League qualifier against Steaua Bucharest in midweek. Firstly, is there an issue with treatment of Joe Hart by Pep Guardiola? I know some people have said that it...
Sam, I don't get this at all. Player gets dropped.
I don't think
that's
I do either, yeah.
About. Player gets dropped. I know he's been there for 10 years. I know that he's seen as something of an institution, and he's always a good reflection of Manchester City. He faces up to criticism, and he was dropped last season by Pellegrini and bounced back. After the European Championships, I thought he was one of England's poorest players, and that's saying quite a lot.
Yes.
I think he made some fairly basic and blatant errors in all the games. Even, I think there's a question to be asked about the goal that we conceded against Russia in the opening game, and I think that was perhaps, partly down to Joe Hart. I have to say that I'm not at all surprised. Anybody who knows Pep Guardiola knows how he wants his footballers, how he wants his goalkeepers to play. And it's not the way that Joe Hart plays. Joe Hart's distribution has been poor for as long as I can remember. There were times last season, I think it was against Bayern Munich, when he was wildly slicing clearances. And it doesn't come as any surprise to me that he's been dropped. What does come as a surprise to me is the hullabaloo over it, because, nobody's made that same, it seems that, players can get... Other players can get dropped at Manchester City and nobody really bats an eyelid. But Joe Hart gets dropped and it's almost like a national emergency. I don't see it at all. And I think Guardiola will upgrade in the goalkeeper stakes. He'll upgrade on Joe Hart and he'll upgrade on Willy Caballero by bringing in, probably Claudio Bravo. So I think that I'm not surprised at Joe Hart's emotion, and I don't share the same angst that he has been dropped.
Yeah, I think I probably agree with you on that score. It's not as if he's been outcast to training with the under-21s or anything.
And it's not like he's been treated like Bastian Schweinsteiger at Manchester United, who's training with the under-21s.
Yes.
And listen, I don't see any problem with that either. If that's what Mourinho wants to do, it's completely within his... prerogative to do that. But the fact is that this Bastian Schweinsteiger has got over 100 caps for Germany, one of the great German players of all time, and he's been treated like that. I don't see the Manchester United fans or the media, certainly in this country, reacting the same way. Perhaps in Germany there's that reaction, but certainly not here.
Yeah, correct. It's a very fair point. And as you say there, Willy Caballero, albeit he's a better alternative to Joe Hart at the moment, it doesn't look as though he's going to be the eventual answer in goal for Manchester City. The likes of Claudio Bravo and Mark Ter Stegen have been linked. Do you expect wholeheartedly Manchester City are going to bring in another keeper, a more permanent solution by the end of the window?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a statement by Guardiola to the board at Manchester City to say, listen, I need to strengthen in the goalkeeping department. And listen, he's got everything that he's wanted so far. There's no reason to think that he won't get a new goal.
Yeah, certainly so. In terms of this game then against Stoke, Stoke are perennial slow starters in the Premier League. Always seems to take them a few weeks to get going. I was left a little bit cold by Manchester City's victory against Sunderland, but you couldn't be left cold by the way they absolutely demolished Steaua Bucharest in midweek. They were chalk and cheese, those performances. If the latter Manchester City turns up, they should be sweeping Stoke aside here.
I think so. I think so. And I think that I think the attacking options that Manchester City have got at the moment are outstanding. You know, Aguero scores a hat-trick, misses two penalties. You know, there was, he could have gone away with six or seven.
Yes.
From the game in Bucharest at the in the week. And I just think that there are other options. I think Raheem Sterling has started the season very well. Looks like his confidence is back. Nolito, I thought, was impressive in his first game. And everything around them, you know, De Bruyne coming from that slightly different position. The very fact that, you know, that there are so many different options. I thought Manchester City last season were dull. I thought they were predictable. I thought there was a coach in Manuel Pellegrini who didn't have the innovation or the excitement. Manchester City, you know, for whatever faults Roberto Mancini had, were never dull. They always kept you on the edge of your seat. And Manuel Pellegrini, in the time that he was at the club, I know, you know, won trophies, but he made them a very sort of formulaic side. Pep Guardiola, formulaic is one word that will never, ever be associated with him, except if the formula is winning football matches.
Yes, yeah, certainly so. So it's a Manchester City victory for you then, Paul?
Yeah, I think so. I think Stoke have been outstanding under Mark Hughes. Three top 10 finishes in the last, and I don't see any reason why they won't necessarily finish in on around that. But like you say, they are perennially slow starters, and I think it takes a little bit of time for them to kick into gear. And I see a tighter Manchester City victory than against Sunderland, you know, in terms of possession. But I still see a victory.
Okay, 7-10 then for Manchester City. We'll move on to the final game on Saturday then. This is the tea time kickoff between Leicester and Arsenal. 5:30 kickoff time for this one. 15-8 about Leicester, 12-5 the draw, and 7-5 Arsenal. It was the first time in an age, Paul, that last season's top two both lost on the opening day, and both have definite questions to answer after that defeat. Probably, maybe even more so, Arsenal, despite the fact they took on a better side in Liverpool. But they were the only team to do the double over Leicester last season, so that they can maybe take solace in that fact.
Two, I thought Leicester, as we've touched on earlier, and Arsenal were the two most underwhelming performances yes. of the opening weekend. I thought Arsenal were shocking against Liverpool. You know, I know the scoreline, 4-3, was tighter than the actual performance would suggest. You know, they had nothing to lose, Arsenal, but to throw everything at it. But I just thought they looked sloppy. I think all the problems that you associate with Arsenal were there to be seen in that 90 minutes. Matt Wenger's buying policy leaves, you know, so many questions to be asked. You know, he made Per Mertesacker the captain. Per Mertesacker is going to be out until January.
Yes.
You know, Lauren Koscielny doesn't play, but Aaron Ramsey does play, and you know they both had an equal amount of time playing in the Euros.
Yes.
And Ramsey picks up an injury potentially because of tiredness or fatigue. There's just no sense to what Arsenal are doing at the moment. I read a great piece by Henry Winter in the Times on Tuesday where he said that Arsene Wenger is becoming one of the great Shakespearean flawed characters who's had this great triumph but now is looking like an imposter in his own kingdom. And I couldn't put it better, well, I certainly couldn't have put it better myself than Henry. And I think there are massive question marks to be asked about Arsenal this season, especially if they don't strengthen it with a centre-forward and a centre-half in the remainder of the transfer window. Leicester, I think we've touched on their problems. I think one of their problems was the amount of travelling that they did during the summer. They went out to Thailand and celebrated. Then they were flying all over the world for pre-season friendlies against the likes of Paris Saint-Germain. Last year, they won all their pre-season games. They were playing lower league opposition and they suddenly got that kind of momentum back that they carried in from the last, I don't know, dozen or so games of the previous season. This time, Leicester looked leggy. against Hull. And as we mentioned earlier, Sam, the hole that Kante leaves in terms of dictating the tempo, winning the ball back quickly, setting attacks up quickly from that base. I think that, you know, even though Mahrez and Vardy have signed new contracts, I think that that doesn't outweigh the loss of Kante.
Yeah, certainly agree with that. But there will be opportunities for Leicester to score, particularly with the centre-back partnership that we saw for Arsenal last week of Callum Chambers and Rob Holding. You know, I mean,
although I think Koscielny will come back for this game, though, don't?
Yes, true.
I worry for Arsenal because Jamie Vardy will think he's got something to prove after turning Arsenal down. I know he hasn't. I heard Arsene Wenger say today that he's not given. He's not been given a reason why Vardy turned it down. Well, the very fact that Leicester offered a 4-year contract, Arsenal only offered 3, and actually playing in that kind of system that Arsenal play wouldn't have suited Jamie Vardy at all. So I think he may have not had a reason from the horse's mouth, but I think Vardy not going to Arsenal was one of the easier decisions Jamie Vardy's made in recent years.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jamie Vardy, 29-20 any time, 5-1 first or last goal scorer. Do I get the impression you're leaning towards a Leicester win here, Paul?
I am, because I still think Arsenal have got 1-0, I would say, and with Vardy scoring it, I think. But I just think Arsenal are poor, and I think they need some kind of injection. We talked about the excitement that Mourinho and Guardiola have brought to the both Manchester clubs. I don't think there's any sense of excitement or anticipation at Arsenal this season.
OK, Leicester then 15-8 to win the match. If you do fancy a 1-0 scoreline, that is in the betting at 10-1 for Leicester. Obviously, Arsenal's defensive frailties very much exposed last week against Liverpool. There will be chances, you would think, for the Foxes. We'll move on then and get stuck into Sunday's games now. We begin with a North East derby coming up at 1:30 at the Stadium of Light. Sunderland versus Middlesbrough here. 6-4 about Sunderland, 21-10 the draw. And Borough are in the betting at 2-1. Despite the fact Sunderland tasted defeat and Borough only got a point on the opening day, you get the feeling that both sides will take heart from their first performance of the season.
Well, certainly Middlesbrough.
Yes.
I thought Middlesbrough have fought very astutely. I saw them quite a lot in the Championship last season, and I thought they were far and away the best team. I think they've fought very well. You know, bought a hugely experienced goalkeeper. And I think they've bought smartly. I think there's been some very good transfer activity at Middlesbrough. And listen, I hope for nothing but good things for Middlesbrough because of Steve Gibson. I think he is one of the great chairmen that there is in terms of the backing that he gives, not just his football club, but he gives the whole Teesside area. You know, hugely instrumental in the regeneration of that area, and it's good to see Middlesbrough back in the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. And at 2-1 here, they take on a Sunderland side who were probably a little bit unlucky to not come out of the City game with a point. This one looks difficult to call for me in terms of a winner.
Yeah, I think Sunderland need to reinforce. I think they've done okay in getting the two lads from Manchester United, although Paddy McNair probably wishes that he'd stayed on the bench. I don't see a winner in this game. I see a 2-2 draw.
OK, the draw then is 21-10. If you fancy a correct scoreline, then the 2-2 draw is in the betting at 18-1. The final game of the Premier League weekend then comes up in the shape of West Ham versus Bournemouth. West Ham here are 5-6. It's 5-2 the draw, and Bournemouth in the betting at 130. Obviously, both sides, Paul, tasted defeat on the opening day of the season against their probably genuine title contenders in the shape of Chelsea and Manchester United. So both will view this as an excellent opportunity to get up and running for the 2016-17 campaign.
Yeah, I'll be there for the first competitive fixture at the. I still can't get around to calling it the London Stadium. It's the Olympic Stadium for me, and I guess it will take a long time for people to call it anything other than that.
Yes.
And I think it will be a bit strange for West Ham. I think it will be. They've obviously played two games there. I'd say it's not the first competitive fixture because they played a Europa League fixture there, but the first Premier League fixture, home Premier League fixture, I think it might be a little bit strange for West Ham. I still think they'll be getting used to it. I didn't think they played that badly against Chelsea on Monday. I thought they were a little bit lacking in ambition, but hopefully when Dimitri Payet is fit enough to start, you know, in the eyes of Slaven Bilic to start games, that will change. Lost Lanzini, which is a bit of a blow. Lost Andre Ayew for 4 months, which is obviously a blow, given the fact they spent £20 million on him. But I think West Ham will win this. I think Bournemouth, out of all the clubs that survived last season, who got promoted the season before, I think they'll be the ones who might suffer second-season syndrome and find it tough in the Premier League this season. I think they were comprehensively taken apart by Manchester United. No shame in that, of course, because of the stellar players that Manchester United have got. But I think they might find it tough. Eddie Howe, I like immensely, but still very young, still quite inexperienced. And I think he could find it tough, and Bournemouth could find it tough. I'm going for a West Ham victory. I have to go for a West Ham victory.
5-6 then for a West Ham win. That is the choice of Paul. Thank you very much for that, Paul. It's been a genuine pleasure to speak to you on this edition of the Football Writers Association podcast. And hopefully we'll get you back on later on in the season.
Thanks, Sam. Take care.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.